I'd love to get out of California, you know. Unless, you know, if people can suggest to the Jews that they move, you know, the Holy Land to Arizona, I think we can move production, you know, a little bit further away from the Chateau Marmont without, without an offense to history.
Hi, I'm Tim Cavanaugh for Reason TV. We're here with Joe Gressis, the co-founder of Secret Handshake Productions and a film and television producer. Joe, welcome.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Joe is one of a dwindling species. You're a producer who's actually active in LA, and you're a small business person who is active in LA. In which way does the state of California make your life more miserable?
Wow, as a small businessman or as a producer?
Yeah.
Kind of, wow, there's a myriad number of ways in which I can be made miserable. I've discovered new ones every day. The things that make producing miserable seem to have more to do with the industry itself, with unions, with a lot of personalities involved. Not so much like with, you know, the laws. Obviously the laws, you know, affect me much more as a small businessman.
What's the story? Why are people leaving California when Hollywood is still the center of movie making in America?
Really, my question isn't, you know, why do we have runaway production? My question is, why aren't we following it? The fact that we remain here is kind of ridiculous. It's like the whole industry is a reverse convention. It's like we all stay here most of the time, and then when it's time to work, that's when we go somewhere distant
right.
for a little
yeah.
while and,
yeah.
then, and then come back. You know, it really should kind of go the other way. There's any number of reasons why people would want to leave California. It's difficult to shoot here. It's much more expensive. You know, everyone is savvy to film, including local government kind of concerns. So permits become more expensive. It just everything becomes more expensive. And of course, taxes are very high here. It's difficult to, you know, in LA, we're paying something like 10% sales tax, for example, like almost at that point now. So all of this becomes, you know, very expensive. People are leaving because other states are offering like great incentives. We just, we shot a movie over the summer in Michigan because they were offering a 42% tax incentive, and so we'd be silly not to follow this. Benefit.
Should California then be doubling down on its, as some people have said, in addition to the tax credit they're offering now, which applies to productions under $75 million? There's now an argument out there to start subsidizing even much larger productions, so that you get the $200 million movies being made with taxpayer support.
California's in trouble enough, I think, without actually paying for a lot of movies on top of it. I mean, movies seem to get made here, or were at one point, without a tax incentive. But it's just now that, you know, everyone is realizing that behavior follows incentives. There's certainly, you know, ways to do that. For some reason, they don't, you know, the politics of Hollywood tend to not be such that they put much weight behind economic, you know, theories that aren't of the Keynesian variety. But here it is. It like everybody responds to these incentives, regardless of, you know, whether or not the fact that they, you know, believe in them in an abstract way. When we were in Michigan, huge movies were there. You know, Transformers 3 had started up. Just as we were leaving. Real Steel was shooting there, which was like a 50-some million-dollar movie, maybe more than that. Machine Gun Preacher with Gerard Butler, which was also in the $30, $40 million range, something like that. There were a lot of like high-budget movies that had fled. And there's a lot of inconveniences to leave L.A. in terms of like talent pool and such, but people do it.
We worked together on this movie this summer
in
Michigan. And
full disclosure.
Yes, and when you flee California, you are not necessarily fleeing your headaches. There are a lot of work rules in Michigan that are actually even more restrictive. This was a kids' movie that we were working on, and in Michigan, you can correct me on this, but the child labor regs are even more severe than they are in California.
They are. They're more difficult there. And so there's a certain number of hours that you're allowed to work kids, and that's it. And there's this all, you know, you're working with a lot of different, you know, unions with very strict rules. And, you know, Michigan being the home of the UAW, it's like they certainly know how to enforce union rules. And so it's like, you know, you're not fleeing those headaches by going from California to Michigan. You're definitely not.
When we're speaking about runaway production, other than the incentives that other states offer or other countries offer, are there other reasons why you want to shoot somewhere else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to get out of California, you know. And like I said, you know, if people can suggest to the Jews that they move, you know, the Holy Land to Arizona, I think we can move production, you know, a little bit further away from the Chateau Marmont without, without an offense to history. I think that that's acceptable. I mean, what interests me is something that is friendly to business. So I don't even need incentives. If there was a way to really accomplish more of this of what I need to do outside of California, in Texas or Delaware or something like that, a place that actually can will be like, I don't know if Delaware's the right idea, but Texas, for example, where it's very friendly to business, you know, without even incentives, just that we know that it's like we can, you know, we're not going to lose as much of what we have in taxes, where it's like, you know, corporate tax is reasonable, where it's like, you know, hiring more employees is, you know, a benefit. There's states that do that.
What about the spectacular vistas that open in everywhere you look in California? I mean, you do have a lot of places to shoot.
I will say a reduced corporate tax can make the Delaware River look much more attractive. Yeah. You know, I can appreciate the ripples of oil on its surface.
How much of the difficulty of shooting here is unions and work rules?
I mean, that is difficult, but it is difficult everywhere because you can't really make a movie above a certain size without union involvement. It's just not possible.
And I mean, the incentives that you have when you're dealing with unionized crew is their incentive is actually to do everything, I don't want to say it the wrong way, but to do everything wrong on the production. It's better if you're going into overtime. Everybody, they call it the golden hour, not because the sun is right, but because that's when you start making your real cash. And all of that is, you know, as everybody knows, your most expensive days are on the set. A delay of an hour could be $15,000 and so forth.
Or more.
Or a lot more, depending on I was thinking of a small production. So is there any way to get around that?
Well, the only way to really work non-union in the United States is to make it a very low-budget movie. I think somewhere under $750,000, maybe less, you could probably go non-union because there's just not enough really to interest them. The other thought is to leave the country, which I'd be more than happy to do. I have no great need to hire Americans. I can, I'll go elsewhere. We've had an opportunity recently to shoot a movie in Hong Kong, and I certainly hope that comes to fruition because I'd be thrilled to get out here. They don't, and see how it works. We had a Hong Kong line producer put together a budget for us, and our below-the-line cost in Hong Kong was something like $600,000, where here it would be over $2
million. Wow.
And it's like, and they've got, you know, as you may have, you know, seen, it's like Hong Kong's got a, you know, has had, at least in the past, a pretty fine film industry. Hong Kong, Singapore, there's like a lot of good production that's coming out of those countries too, and they're able to do it for a much more reasonable rate. They're also not high, I mean, there is some subsidization that goes on. But it's not to the degree of, you know, like the European film markets or something like that, which, of course, and those subsidies are going away as well. So, I mean, everyone's kind of seeing that there isn't necessarily.
Why is film financing so screwed up? I mean, and this predates the incentives. It predates a lot of stuff. There's never been a time when people looked at the financing of the motion picture industry and said, hey, that's really a model, a straightforward.
This, I think, is because on every level there's a miscommunication about what's going on in the film industry. I think that when it comes to the studios, they treat it too much like a business, and when it comes to indies, they don't treat it enough. The problem is that it's a product that if you make it as best it can possibly come out, you still have no idea whether it's going to respond to people or not. It's a problem with art, you know, and it's a very, very expensive art. Wow. And when it comes to film financing, it's almost entirely ego-based as well. I think you know, a lot of people who, you know, certainly at the studio level, it's like, you know, there's a lot of ego that goes into it.
It's very hard. I mean, I don't think people really appreciate that making a movie is incredibly hard. It involves millions of people and a ton of money and very high pressure kind of situation.
I want to kill myself and others every single day I'm on set. Well, the thing about a movie is that if done right, it's like a multi-million dollar corporation that exists for a couple of weeks. You know, and you've got 100 employees who've never met each other and are only around for 5 weeks. Motivation is difficult, especially when you're trying to fire someone, it takes 3 weeks. Well, you know, not everyone. Sometimes you can fire people right away, but sometimes it takes a long time. And it's like, you know, they can wait those things out. You know, I never got a greater appreciation of Michael Bay than after I had started producing a couple of movies, because I always thought he was like, you know, his movies are all terrible. I still do. But I really appreciate what he brings to the table, which is that here's a guy who's got, you know, a creative skills as well as the skills of like a CEO who holds together $200 million worth of product that lasts for just like a short period of time, manages to crack the whip and get everyone to do their job. I mean, that's not an easy feat. So, you know, kudos to Michael Bay. I'm not going to see Transformers 3, but, you know, I understand why these guys have their place in the landscape.